إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وخليله، بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف الغمة وتركها على المحجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وما قل وكفى خير مما كثر وألهى، وإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، عباد الله، to proceed, O servants of Allah, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says in an authentic hadith, افعلوا الخير دهركم وتعرضوا لنفحات الله فإن لله نفحات يصيب بها من يشاء من عباده. Do goodness your entire life and come across the gifts of Allah. For Allah has gifts that He dispenses, that He bestows on people. For Allah has gifts that He bestows on whomever He pleases of His servants. On whomever He pleases of His servants. The word nafha could mean like a burst of mercy, a burst of forgiveness, a burst of compassion. You could also translate it as a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do goodness, do righteousness your entire life, and come across, seek the gifts of Allah, and try to come across them. Expose yourself to the mercy of Allah, expose yourself to the forgiveness of Allah during those particular times where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spreads out those gifts and bursts of mercy and forgiveness onto the people and bestows them onto the people. It was also reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna lillahi fi ayami dahrikum nafahat, fata'arradu li nafahat Allah, fal'allaha an tusiba ahadakum fala yasqa ba'daha abada." There are certain days in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of your lives, there are certain days in your lives in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala passes out gifts. So come across, seek and come across those gifts and those days. Maybe one of you will have some of those gifts bestowed on him, and then he will never have any hardship. لا يشقى بعدها أبدا. He will never have any hardship or any evil touch him. So these seasons that we go through, you know, one season after another, they should be chances for us, opportunities for us to come across those gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those virtuous days, like the first 10 days of the Hijjah, for instance. We just ended the first 10 days of the Hijjah just ended, and those are the greatest and most virtuous days of the entire year. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ فِيهِنَّ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى مِنْهُ فِي هَذِهِ الْأَيَّامِ الْعَشْرِ. There are no days in which righteousness and good deeds are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than they are in those 10 days, meaning the first 10 days of the Hijjah. First 10 days of the Hijjah. The greatest of them all would be the 9th and the 10th. The greatest of those 10 days would be the 9th, which is the day of Arafah, and the 10th, which is the day of Al-Eid. In fact, the day of Al-Eid is not just the greatest of the 10 days, it is the greatest day in the entire calendar, in the entire year. That is the greatest day every year, the day of Eid al-Adha, or the day of Yawm al-Nahr, or the day of Al-Hajj al-Akbar, the greater day of Al-Hajj. So, now, we should not let those, you know, certainly it ended, but what I want to say is that we should not let them end without a change in our lives. We should not let them end without a change in our lives. Some of us invested in those 10 days more than others. Some of us did not invest much in those 10 days. Some of us invested more than others in those 10 days with righteous works and, you know, effort to pray more in the night prayers and fast more during the day and do more charity and more righteous works and visit the sick and help the Muslim community and do some effort for da'wah and so on and so forth. So that is the greatest investment, to invest in those days with righteousness and good deeds. That is the greatest investment. I will request you to come forward, inshallah, so that we can leave room for the people who will come late. But then it is not just a matter of investing in those 10 days. It's not just a seasonal issue. It should not be a seasonal occurrence. It should change us, because what is the benefit of excelling in those 10 days if you're just going to go back to your old ways? Certainly it is better than not excelling in those 10 days. But if we are going to go back to our old ways, then we have not reaped the benefit of the 10 days. We have not reaped the benefit of this opportunity, the nafahat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He bestows on His servants during those 10 days. How do we know that our deeds have been accepted? How do we know if we have come across those nafahat, those gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if we exposed ourselves to those gifts and they were bestowed on us? We can know this by looking at our reality after those 10 days have ended, or after Ramadan have ended, or after any season of virtue has ended. We should look at our reality. Have we changed things? Have we changed our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Have we changed our relationship with the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Have we become better people? Have we become better people? Have we inventoried our sins and tried to repent from them? You inventory everything. You inventory your clothes, you inventory your money. So every once in a while you go through your belongings. But have we inventoried our sins? Have we examined our sins and have we tried to repent from them? And the problem is, many times we do not pay attention to our sins, because there are multiple reasons why we don't pay attention to them. One of the reasons could be the fact that we don't know what is sin and what is not sin. And that is a huge problem. And don't think that, you know, when you learn, you will expose yourself to the punishment, because as long as you stay ignorant, you don't get punished. That is quite an awkward way of thinking, and that you cannot deceive Allah. This is trickery. This is deception. You can't deceive Allah. You can't go to Allah and say to Him, "Well, I did not know this and I did not know that." Some people think this way, that I will get in trouble when I learn, then I will have to do more, and so let me just not learn. That's the ostrich and, you know, burying her head in the sand. So you have to learn, otherwise the problem will be, you know, double the sin that you've committed and the ignorance of the basics of your deen, which is another sin. To you know, neglect to learn the basics of our deen is another sin. That is a huge one. That is the sin of al-i'rad, negligence, to turn your back to stay away from, tu'rid, which means to neglect, to ignore, to stay away from, to turn your back to. So the sin of al-i'rad is a huge one. So don't ever think that, you know, you're going to get yourself more in trouble by learning. In fact, knowledge is mandatory on each and every Muslim to learn the basics of their deen and to learn that which they cannot afford not know or to have no knowledge of. So it is important for us, in order for us to recognize our sins, it is important for us to learn what is pleasing to Allah and what is displeasing to Allah. And then we look at our sins. One of the bigger reasons, and we're not particularly, you know, talking about, you know, identification of sins in detail, but I just want to alert you to a few things that we may fall in as, you know, traps of the shaitan. One of the traps is this knowledge ignorance thing, and some people think that as long as they stay ignorant, they'll be safe. And the other trap of the shaitan is that whenever they think about sins, they think about sins that are done by the body, bodily sins, sins that are apparent, sins that are obvious, sins that are like, you know, kidding and stealing and fornication and drinking and abandoning the prayers and breaking the fast in Ramadan and so on and so forth. And those are enormous sins and huge sins. And certainly, عقوق الوالدين, mistreatment of parents, zulm, transgression of people, all of these are huge sins and enormous sins, but we're not trying to underestimate them. But there are greater sins that could actually cause you to completely lose your faith. The sin of doubt, for instance, to have doubts about the religion that you don't try to fix. You know, and it depends on how much doubt you have, and where there is a line. There is a line between iman and kufr, between belief and disbelief. And if you have doubts about the religion that will tip you over to the side of disbelief, that's not just a sin. That is disbelief. That is worse than any other sin. And there are so many sins that are, you know, not apparent, such as pride and prejudice, such as rancor and envy, such as hatred and malice, such as arrogance, such as conceit. You know, when you're too self-confident, you're too happy with yourself, you're too happy with your accomplishments and so on. That is self-conceit, self-admiration. And so this, the list goes on and on. And these are all sins that are committed by our hearts without you doing anything. You didn't utter a word. You did not move your hand. You did not do anything. It is just that your heart is working. When your limbs are still, don't think that you are completely still. Your heart is working. And your heart could be earning reward or committing sins, because it's always at work. So you have to pay attention to your heart, which is always at work. Even when your hands are still, even when your tongue is inside your mouth and you're completely shot, it's completely shot, that does not mean that you're not sinning. And that does not mean either that you're not earning reward. You know, just to ponder and contemplate the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to harbor the feelings of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the feelings of love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the feeling of love for the family and the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the feelings of allegiance to the Muslims, allegiance to this ummah, wala, or allegiance to the ummah of the Muslims, the feelings for the sufferings, to harbor feelings, you know, for the sufferings, to feel for their pain, to feel for their hardship. All of these are things that are done by your heart. You have not uttered the word and you have not done anything, but you are earning reward. And many people don't get to enjoy such feelings because, you know, their practice of their religion is quite dry. And that could be detrimental, because that dry practice of the religion can break you. You know, if it is just the apparent do's and don'ts, and that is not to underestimate or belittle the importance of the apparent do's and don'ts. We have to abide in entirety. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Repent to Allah, all of you believers, or repent to Allah, you believers, in entirety. جَمِيعًا could be either this or that. So repent to Allah, all of you believers, or repent to Allah, O you believer, in entirety. in the entirety that you repent to Allah with your entire body, organs, your vision, your eyes, vision, sight, hearing, you know, your hands and so on, and your heart. So you come, you return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your entirety. If we do not understand this and understand the role of our heart in the religion, in the practice of the religion, then our practice of the religion will be dry. When it dries out, it cracks, right? Like everything. It dries out, cracks, it breaks. You know, it does not have the moistness, it does not have the spirituality that will maintain it, that will keep it strong. Because there is strength in flexibility, there is strength in the green stick, you know, and when the green stick dries out, it cracks. So if your practice of the religion is like the green stick, you will continue to prosper in this practice, and you will continue to increase in your faith. So now you inventory the sins, but do not only look at the sins of the body, look also at the sins of the heart. Look at how, you know, many times you've looked down at people because of their differences from you, whatever differences these could be. Look at how many times you have had excessive self-admiration, excessive self-conceit. You were too proud, you were too prejudiced, you were too arrogant, you were too envious, you were too hateful, you were too deceptive in your dealings with people, dealings with your spouse, dealings with your children, your parents, your co-workers, your neighbors, your classmates. The people in the masjid, people that you come across, the business partners, and so on and so forth. So all of these are things that we have to consider, and we should not only focus on the apparent ones. And do not focus on the major sins and forget about the minor ones. That's another trap that the shaitan may make us fall into. It is a huge trap. Why? Because people do not understand that the sin, it is not the enormity of the sin alone. It is the enormity of disobeying Allah. The sin could be enormous, but disobeying Allah and insisting to disobey Allah, even with minor sins, could also be enormous, because this insistence, this persistence on disobeying the one who created you, this consistency in sinning against the one who created you, even if the sin was minor, the scholars say, la kabira, ma'astighfar wa la saghirata ma'a israr. The enormities are not enormities anymore with asking of forgiveness or seeking of forgiveness, istighfar. And the minor sins are not minor sins anymore with persistence, israr, consistency in doing such sins. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَإِيَّاكُمْ مُحَقَّرَاتِ الذُّنُوبِ فَإِنَّهُنَّ يَجْتَمِعْنَ عَلَى الْعَبْدِ حَتَّى يُهْلِكْنَهُ. And beware of the sins considered minor. You see, he did not say الذنوب الحقيرة. He said محقرات الذنوب. The sins that are considered minor, for they pile up on the servant or the abd until they cause him complete destruction, complete doom and complete destruction. So you inventory the sins and you pay attention to the small ones and the big ones and everyone, because you have to look at the enormity of disobeying Allah, not just the enormity of the sin per se. أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروا. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام وصلاة على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد. To proceed. So as I said, that these were virtuous days, some of the great days of the year that we have, we Muslims have. And we should not let those days just pass on without us changing, without us opening a new page of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without some revival, some renewal of our religion. You have to renew your religion frequently, because the religion can wear out like the clothes, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. So renew your religion. You know, think about it. Don't take it for granted. Don't just go through the motions. When you pray, think about your prayers. Be conscious of the prayers. Be conscious that you're standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you're actually conversing and talking with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bring in more meaning into your acts of worship. Bring in more meaning. Bring in more piety into your transactions, interactions. your treatment of the people who are around you. Try to work on, you know, the worst of the qualities that human beings have, which is the greed for, you know, for temptations, different, you know, temptations and lusts and so on and so forth. And the transgression is another quality that human beings have. And then, you know, the devilish qualities of the deception and trickery and hypocrisy and lying. And then the qualities of pride and prejudice, which is the qualities in, you know, by which people can actually compete with God when they have such qualities. So it's just various stages. You know, the first stage is when you have greed for to satisfy your temptations. And that greed pushes you, and these are called the sifat al-bahimiyya, the qualities of cattle. And then the next one is the qualities of wild animals. Because when you want to satisfy your desires, you compete for those desires, and then when you compete for them, you start to fight with people around you, and you start to transgress and to violate the rights of other people. And then once you have gone through this stage, then you develop, because you cannot overpower all the people, then you develop devilish qualities of deception and trickery and hypocrisy and lying and so on and so forth. And then once you have gone through this stage, you develop the worst of all qualities, which is it's called the sifat al-rububiyya, which is to compete with God. In you have self-conceit, self-admiration, self-worship, excessive pride, excessive prejudice, arrogance, and so on. And that would be the worst of all qualities. And that is the point of not no return, because there is always return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's doors are always open. But that's a point from which the return will be quite hard, So let's try to open a new page, and let's try to mild out those qualities in us, because all of us have been given some of those qualities, and all of us must work on milding them out, or must work on suppressing them. If you can't completely cure your heart from some of those qualities, suppress them to the point where you're not using them in ways that will bring about harm, like direct harm to you or to the people around you. So it is time for a renewal. As I said, this is a season that we should not, you know, depart from or leave without learning new lessons and without renewing our religion. And that applies to us as individuals. It applies to us as communities. We have, as communities, to look at ways to improve our Islamic practice, our, you know, existence as a Muslim community. And that is also true for us as an ummah. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم لا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك ولا يرحمنا اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا ربنا آتي نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم لا تدع لنا في هذا اليوم العظيم ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا ميتا إلا رحمته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا عورة إلا سترتها ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة لك فيها رضا ولنا فيها صلاح إلا قضيتها ويسرتها إنك على ذلك قدير اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم هيئ لنا وللأمة أمر رشد يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويذل فيه أهل معصيتك ويأمر فيه بالمعروف وينهى فيه عن المنكر وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين وأقم الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.